I appreciate the invitation to share a few thoughts with you this evening, but I must admit that I'm really on a crusade, and to share my mission with you. We live in a world where, besides the insanity and the stupidity and the decadence that goes on, there's another problem which has subtly and not so subtly been seeping in to our societies in general. And that is, in a world which for a good 3,000 years plus, maybe, there was, let's say 3,000 years plus for the Jews, maybe 4,000, maybe 2,000 for some of the other major religions of the world, there was an idea that there's a God in the world. Today, it's been so marginalized by everything that happens and everything that we do that it's even affected our communities. Even those of us that daven every day, even those of us that observe mitzvahs every day, well, to whom are we davening? To HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why are we observing the mitzvahs? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzvah. But there's something that is infiltrated even our ranks that we sort of forget that there's really a Borei Olam. We're so enamored by technology, by the powers that be out there, by the extent to which the human being has become so capable of doing almost everything. And even in our world, we sort of boil things down to statistics, to science, to technology, and even to teva, to nature. And we forget that after everything is said and done, there's a Borei Olam who created the world, and who conducts all of its affairs, and who controls everything that takes place. And he's only given us 1 ounce, which is a very big one, of power. And that's the power of free choice. Bechira chofshis. To choose between good and evil. Other than that, he controls everything. On the political scene, we worry who's the president, who's the prime minister of Israel, what government is coming in, who won the Congress, who's going to rule the Knesset. All of these things are, what are you talking about? There's politics, there's politicians. Lev sorim umalochim biyad Hashem. The hearts of princes, of ministers, and kings are also in the heart of Hashem, in the hand of Hashem. Hashem controls everything. And as trite as it sounds, it's true. We started by taking it for granted, and then we end up in the point where we just almost don't even realize. You know, the famous joke, which I'm sure everybody has heard many times over, of this guy who has a very important appointment in Manhattan at 5 o'clock, the most important appointment of his business career, and he's circling around and around looking for a parking space, and he's literally going out of his mind. He's going to be late for this multi-million-dollar deal, and he's davens to Hashem, Rebbeinu Shelo, please, this is the biggest deal of my career. Please help me to find a parking space. I beg you. I'll be your best friend. Bechule, bechule. And then all of a sudden, he sees a parking space over there. Never mind, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have the situation under control. Fool that you are. You have nothing under control. We have nothing under control. No one has anything under control. It's all biyad Hashem. And the same thing when we hear, you know, the whole COVID saga that we went through, which seems almost like a bad dream. I mean, imagine the fact that I stayed in my house for 6 months straight without going. Can you believe it? I don't believe it. It's like, how could be such a thing? You know, it's like some bad dream. But all of that also, everything was about science. Ask Dr. Fauci, he'll tell you. It was all about science. You know, science. Baloney. Phony. But that's besides the point. Even the non-phony science. It's only science. There's a Bir Yom. There's Hashkocha Protis. In the inimitable words of Reb Chaim Brisker, every bullet has its address. And so does every virus, if I may say so. And so does everything that happens in this world. And it's so important that we extricate ourselves from that negative influence which surrounds us and wake up and discover, hey guys, there's a God in the world. Sounds so simple. Sounds so basic. Sounds so foolish to even talk this way. But it's so true. We've just sort of, you know, we have problems, we have crises, we have situations, we have difficulties, and we're living to think and breathe teva, natural things. Let's do research, let's do statistics, let's go to professionals, and it's all important. But it's all important in one realm, in the realm called Hishtadlus. Hashem put us in this world that we should live with action, that we shouldn't rely on miracles, that we should, that He created mitzvahs in everything that we do, so that we put in the effort, and then the brocha min hashamayim is chal on us. But if we think for a moment that it's the effort that does it, we make a tragic error. I'm not sure, you know, many stories they quote in the name of the Rebbe Sol Salanter and the Chofetz Chaim, and in the Chassidish world they quote in the name of other people, of this Rebbe and that Rebbe. I don't know who said it. But it's much akin to two stories that they tell. One, this individual was on a train and he was very late and he wasn't satisfied. The train wasn't moving fast enough. So he walks up to the front of the car. What are you accomplishing? Who do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? Well, the other story that they tell similar, the guy is sitting on a wagon, you know, the horse drawn wagon, and he's sitting with a heavy package on his lap, and the guy next to him says, why don't you put it down on the floor? I don't want the horses to have to work harder. You know, this is the way we look. This is the way we look at the world. As if what we do is what really makes it happen. There's a conductor. There's a driver. There's the ultimate conductor. And he conducts the world. And everything we do is only because the conductor says, I want you to participate in the process. I want you to feel part of the process. I want you to benefit from the schus of participating and the mitzvah of participating in the process. But don't think for a moment that there's anyone else that's pulling the reins, that's pulling the strings, that's controlling everything out there. It's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, there is something very interesting, and that is that Hashem has given us an additional power to influence His world, to influence His decisions, to influence the way that He orchestrates and conducts everything that takes place in the world. And of course, that power can be broken down into a number of different categories. I would like to break it down, let's say, to three categories. One is mitzvahs. When we have schusim, we influence what's going to happen. Because I become more worthy. I become more worthy of Hashem's kindness, Hashem's chesed. Two, tefillah. Tefillah has a tremendous power. Now you may wonder, well, what could be the power of tefillah? You know, Hashem is ultimate good. And if I'm deserving of something, and if it's in my best interest, so He'll give it to me, why do I have to pray? And if I'm not deserving of it, and it's not in my best interest, so what am I praying for? And the answer is that the tefillah elevates us because we become more deeply connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We start with praising Him. Then we make our requests. Then we repeat after each request that He is the one who almost professionally is the Reifei Choyli, is the Mevorei Hashonim, is the Choylin Hadas, is the Shomea Tefillah. So it strengthens that appreciation, that connection with Him. And we uplift ourselves in the process and become worthy of more. And then there's one more tool, let's say, that we have. A tool which is maybe the ultimate of all tools. And that's the power of bitochin. The power of putting our trust in Hashem. And when a person puts their trust in Hashem, everything in the world can turn around. It's a whole different reality out there because of one who puts his or her trust in Hashem. Let me expand upon that for a few moments. When the Klal Yisrael was going out of Mitzrayim, so Moshe Rabbeinu was davening because Paro was coming from behind. The Yam Suf was raging in front of them. There were wild animals, mamish, running rampant on both sides. What are we going to do? And Moshe Rabbeinu was davening, please Hashem, help us. And Hashem says to Moshe, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Parshas Bishalach, Matitzach Elai, Dabar el Bnei Yisrael v'yiso. What are you crying to me? Speak to them and tell them to go into the Yam. So the Orach Chaim HaKodesh asks the question. He says, Matitzach Elai, to whom would you recommend that I pray? Matitzach Elai. Of course, what, I should daven to the Avodah Zorah of Mitzrayim? What are you talking about? And the Orach Chaim explains that because of their engagement in Avodah Zorah in Mitzrayim, whatever they had done, so there was a kitrug. The Satan was able to interfere with their tefillahs. The Satan was able to say, these people, you can answer their tefillahs. Look what they did. Look what they look who they are. Look what happened. Look what they did. But Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem tells Moshe, he says, there's something beyond tefillah. And that's your emunah bitochon. Step up. Go into that Yam Suf. Show that you believe in Hashem. Show that you trust in Hashem that He will protect you. And there's nothing to worry about. The power of bitochin goes even beyond the power of tefillah. And it has the power to split the sea. Split the sea. Miracles. The greatest of miracles. Why? Because we have that emunah and we have that bitochin. That trust in Hashem. That trust in Hashem's chesed. Now, the trust process, David HaMelech teaches us, goes like this. He says in Kapitel Yud Gimel, where he's in the cave, he's hiding for his life, he says, Ho'iru einai panish na'boves, I think Shaul is pursuing him, and he mamishes on the brink of death. And David HaMelech says, V'ani b'chastecho botachti, I trusted in your chesed, yogei libi b'shuasecho. The Vilna Gaon says that in the future, Yogi Azalosh and Osi, the future tense, I am sure that I will rejoice in the Yeshua. And that seems to describe the whole process. I don't trust that Hashem is going to help me directly. Why? Maybe I'm not worthy. But I trust His chesed. I know everything Hashem does is chesed. I know Hashem created the world with chesed. And I know He continues to recreate the world. The Alter Rebbe Slabodka teaches us every single day for every single person, be it tzaddik or rosho, every day He recreates the world. That's the pshat we say it in davening. Hamachadish betuve b'chol yoyim tomid maase bereishis ko amur. No, he say oyim gedolim. That's a present tense. He makes the oyim gedolim ki le oylam chastoy. The chesed with which He created the world. One whole universe for one single person. Oh, the Marishayim, he mamshich does that chesed ki le'olam chasdoy. That chesed is alive and well to this very day. And Hashem is mischased, is kind to each and every individual on the face of the earth and recreates the entire creation for each and every one of us. That's the extent of His chesed. V'ani b'chastecho botachti. I trust your chesed. And because I trust your chesed, And because I know the extent of your chesed, and because I know that the only purpose for which you created the world was for chesed, and therefore, yogel libi b'shuasecha, my heart knows, I know that I will rejoice in the Yeshua, in the salvation, that you will fulfill desires of my heart. The confidence that I develop in the kindness of Hashem, and that's all he is, that's all he did, that's why he created the world, that's what he continues to do, ki le'olam chastoy, that inspires me emotionally to start to feel, I just know it, yogeli b'Yeshua secha, I'm going to rejoice in the Yeshua. The Yeshua is going to come. Hashem is going to grant me the desires of my heart. That's the way the process works. And the process works wonders. I want to share with you just a couple of little incidents that took place, personal things that took place over the years, and just to develop a little bit of a sense of that. That idea. In the mid-70s, we moved to the San Fernando Valley, in this suburb of Los Angeles, to make a yeshiva in probably one of the most unlikely places in the world. It was a very, I was used to say that in the 30s and the 40s, when people found too much Yiddishkeit in New York, and there was very little in those days, they ran to Los Angeles. And when they found Los Angeles too frum, which wasn't anything, they ran to the valley. So that was like the last stop. We couldn't get any further. We came there, we can make yeshiva there. Things were tough. It was not a very easy sell, and it was financially a very, very big challenge. It was a summer night, probably in the middle of the summer, and my daughter, who must have been about 8 at the time, says she's going on a trip with her day camp the next morning, and she needs 75 cents for a soda. And I didn't have 75 cents. So she said, what should I do? I said, say Tehillim. She looked at me a little bit, you know. But okay, good kid, sat down with her younger sister saying Tehillim. After a few minutes, she says, I don't get it. I'm leaving, it's 10:30 at night, I'm leaving 7:30 in the morning, you don't have the money, what's going to get, the little kid says something, maybe someone will give you, maybe, I don't know what, but it didn't make any sense to her, but okay. Next morning she leaves without the money. She comes back, a big smile on her face. What happened? A friend of hers, who at the Purim Carnival, which was 4 months before, borrowed 75 cents from her. They forgot about it completely. Never discussed it. That morning she wakes up. She says, oh, I owe the Cohen girl 75 cents. She brings it to the camp to pay her. Now, my kids learned quite a lesson from this. Number one, you say Tehillim, someone's listening. Number two, he cares about 75 cents. Number three, he sends messages. This girl lived in the city, which was like 10 miles away. He sends messages in the middle of the night to this girl in the city so she should wake up in the morning and all of a sudden, after 4 months of not even thinking, to remember that. You learned a lesson. Tefillah helps. Well, there are other lessons we learned in those days of very difficult financial straits. It was a Friday morning after Thanksgiving, I remember. And my wife calls me up at 9 o'clock in the morning. She has no fish for Shabbos. And you know, she was very fortunate to have a husband who gives her very good advice. I say, why don't you buy some fish? Pretty sharp. She said, I have no money. Well, I said, neither do I. What should I do? Guess what? I have that bitochen. Hashem will provide. What are you worried about? 5 minutes later, a young man walks into my office, and he was learning in the Bais Medrash, in a post-high school the Bais Medrash, and it was the day after Thanksgiving, and he says, hey, where were you yesterday? Thanksgiving, you don't come to learn? Like, what happened? He says, no, it was a holiday, my father was off, and he wanted to take out the boat, you know, that's what they did in Los Angeles, wanted to take out the boat, So I had Rachmanis, nobody was with him, I went with him. But look what we brought you. Plastic bag full of fish. 5 minutes later. Okay, very good. I told this story over recently, last year maybe, in a koilel. And the guy sitting all the way in the back over there says, but it wasn't gefilte fish. Anyway, so I said, oh, gefilte fish you want. Fast forward about 20 years. I'm walking along Central Avenue in the Five Towns. And I get a call from my wife about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I think it was. Guess what? No fish for Shabbos. Okay, let's do the same shtick again. Why don't you buy some? Have no money. We'll need to do what? What should I do? Yeah, be talking. 2 minutes later, I don't know if you people live in the neighborhood or what, but there used to be a King David delicatessen on Central Avenue. And all of a sudden, I'm walking by, and Mrs. Ross opens the door. It looks like they were almost closing already. Come in, Rabbi, go, Rabbi, go, come here, come in. I said, well, what's going on? She says, we started takeout this week, and we have 2 big loaves of gefilte fish. I want you to take home to your wife to see how she likes it. That's it. We have to trust Hashem. Hashem is concerned with 75 cents. He's concerned with gefilte fish. And I'll tell you some other things he's concerned about. It was probably the early 80s, and we had already sent away a large group, a lot of students to learn at yeshivas in New York. We tried to send them out of Los Angeles at the time. It wasn't the place for the yeshiva bocher. And 5 or 6 of them were home for the summer, and they were talking to me about the possibility of staying and learning in our base medrash. We had a post-high school program. So it would have been a tremendous chizuk for the yeshiva, for the high school, for the community. It would have been a great thing. And I was very interested, but they had one condition, that I have to not only give a shiur, which I did, but to spend the entire morning seder in the Beis Medrash, with them. So we're going to have someone to talk to and learning in this. And I said, I don't know if I can make such a commitment because whatever it is, I have a lot of responsibilities. I owe a lot of money for the previous year. I have to raise money for this year. It's not so simple. But give me 24 hours. I go home and I ask my wife. She says, it's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the 3rd parak. Amar Rav Nechuda ben Hakona, ha-mekabel olav oil toiro, ma'avir men oil malchus vel derech eretz. If one accepts the burden of Torah, then the burden of Malchus, which is government, which to me meant the payroll taxes, which were a fortune, and Derech Eretz, making money, is removed miraculously from you. I said, I'm a Kabbal. The next day I go in, I tell the Chevra, Shchidosh Elul, got a deal, I'm in the Beis Medrash. That night, I meet an individual who says, my father wants to talk to you. I talk to his father, wants to introduce me to someone in one of his buildings, somebody who's very sick, maybe we could help him, maybe this, maybe that, old story. Well, to make a long story short, he wrote a will, he passed away a few weeks later, left the yeshiva $1 million. That was in 1982, $1 million was a lot of money. Today, it's, nothing much, but. So, if you put your trust in Hashem, Hashem responds in unusual ways, in miraculous ways. Now, trust is not a word. I have bitochen. Many people think there's a bitochen button. You press the button, and now you have bitochen, and everything is going to just shower down from heaven. It ain't so simple. It's work. Sometimes it's a lifetime's work. And Hashem knows just how many challenges we need to bring us to the point where we truly have trust in Hashem, not perfunctory, not superficial, not pretended, not mistaken, but real trust in Hashem. You know, Rabbi Yisrael Salanta is known for having a litmus test for bitochen. Somebody once came to him and said, he needs 10,000 ruble or whatever the number was. And he says, well, buy a lottery ticket, just have 100% bitochen that you're going to win, and you'll be fine. So he buys a ticket, and he waits, and months go by, and nothing happens. very distraught. He keeps saying, "Bitochen, Bitochen." Comes to Rabbi Yisrael, says, "I guess it was a ticket that you could win, keep on winning for the same number, or whatever." Comes to Rabbi Yisrael, he says, "I don't know what you told me. I thought it was having a Bitochen 100%." And he says, "You still have Bitochen 100% that you're going to win?" "Absolutely. 10,000 ruble? Yeah. Will you sell me the ticket for 5,000? And he says, "Yes." And he says, "No. You see, you're fooling yourself. If you truly were sure that Hashem was going to grant you that which you wished, you would never have sold me that ticket for less." So it's easy to fool ourselves, but we have to know it's a reality. The reality is, HaBeteach B'Hashem Chesed Yisoy Vevenu. One who puts his trust or her trust in Hashem, Chesed will surround them. And Chazal say, no offense to anybody here, please, Afilu Rosho U'Beteach B'Hashem Chesed Yisoy Vevenu. Even a person is a Rosho, and he puts his trust in Hashem, Hashem will respond by surrounding him with chesed. Because bitochen is not dependent upon who you are. It's dependent upon the connection that you forge with Hashem. And when we face the challenges of life, we have two ways to go. We have the one way to say, there's teva, there's nature, there's technology, this science, this politics, this forces that be in the world, as we mentioned at the beginning, and that's it. I'm at the mercy of these forces. And there's another way to go. There is no teva. There is no science. There is no technology. There is nothing. Only Hashem. Ein oid milvadoi. That's the only force. That's the only power. That's the only anything that exists in this world is only by Hashem's graces, by Hashem's gzeirah, by Hashem's kindness. That's where we live. And if we come to that realization, and then we take it to the next step, and we find the ability to, in the depths of realization of the extent of Hashem's chesed, we find ourselves rejoicing in the Yeshua, Yogei Libi Bishua Secho, that we will come eventually to the final phrase of that pasuk, or Shiro LaHashem Kigo Maloloi. I will sing Shira to Hashem when He actually delivers. And I want to leave you with one more point, and then if you have time, I have a few minutes, we could have some conversation. There's a, it's brought, Kaf HaChaim, others bring from Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid, that there's a special, I don't know what to call it, a skula. It's not a skula, it's an idea, let's say, that if a person has a tzora, that he should be makabel, she should be makabel on him or herself, that when that tzora is ended, I'm going to say nishmas publicly in front of a minyan. I'm going to say nishmas expressing my appreciation and my recognition that everything that happens and the Yeshua that happened to me is all from Hashem. And the way I understand that is because one of the reasons that Hashem may not want to deliver for us is because there's a big difference when we're in need or when He has already bestowed His kindness upon us. For example, Sora Imenu waited 90 years until she had a child. Chazal say the reason for it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mis'ave l'tfiloson shel tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu craves the tfilos of the righteous. So she, 90 years of tefillah, of connecting and deepening her connection and strengthening her bitochen and not giving up, and under so many difficult years of another year, another year, another year, another year, another decade, another decade, another decade, another decade, refusing to give up, waiting and davening, Hashem should help. That connection that she forged is immeasurable, is beyond what we can even comprehend. So I, as a wise guy, said, I would have had another suggestion for Sarah. I would have suggested, Hashem, give her a child at 40, at 50, and then let her say Hallel for the rest of the years. Good idea, no? Hallel also connects one to Hashem. Wow, what could be better than that? And then I realized the foolishness of my thinking. When a person is in need, we turn to Hashem with all of our heart, with all of our koichos, we muster all, every ounce of sincerity that we can find to turn to Hashem and to rely on Hashem, to count on Hashem, to hope to Hashem, He's going to help us. Once He delivers, now Sarah, of course, I'm sure would have been different, but even on Sarah, this could have affected her. The first week, we'll say the whole Hallel. The next week, we'll say half Hallel, like we say Rosh Chodesh. The next week, we'll say Hoidu. The next week, we'll say Shkoyach. And after that, it's Keloi Hoyo, as if it never happened. That's the nature of the human being. When we're in need, we're front and center with those tefillos. When Hashem has already delivered, so we say, O Shira Hashem, Ki Gomel Alay Dover HaMelech said, when you deliver, I will say Shira. And that's what the Rabbi Yehuda Chose says. I will say Shira publicly, Nishmas, publicly declaring that I'm not forgetting forever that this was all you. I'm not forgetting that you did it, not that I did it, not that it happened naturally, not that it happened accidentally. It's all from you. And with this, I want to leave you. I want to share you just a little story. It was about the year before Sandy. And we had a property in the Bayswater neighborhood, and we were going to build a four-story building. Wow, what a building that was supposed to be. With two sub-basements, a swimming pool, and an indoor gym, and a... Wow, what a building. Like, probably 5 years to build with $10 million. In order to be able to do that, I knew I'd have to have a construction loan. A construction loan means you borrow money from the bank, they give you the money up front, and then you pay it off with the pledges that come in from the people who are dedicating to help the building. They don't come in all at once, so you pay off the loan. But in order to qualify for a construction loan, you have to show on your balance sheet that you make a profit, because you're still going to be renting your rented facilities, so you can't use your rental money to pay the mortgage. So you have to show profit to be able to pay the mortgage. So I made a cheshbon, I need about $300,000 in profit to show that I could afford to pay this construction loan. And therefore, each year before the end of our fiscal year, which was August 31st, I tried my best to make sure that I showed that profit. If somebody was going to donate in September, and I was short in August, so August 31st was the cutoff. So I would ask them, hey, maybe donate the money now, so by August 31st, we could show that we, fine. And we did that for a few years. The year before Sandy, it was August 15th, and I realized I was short to break even $600,000, and I needed another $300,000 to show the profit in order to be able to. And then we still thought we were going to borrow. Then Sandy came along. We had to build a modular building because we didn't have the time. We couldn't wait 5 years to build a building. Anyway, so on August 15th, I sent out a letter to 100 local friends and supporters that on August 31st, the end of the fiscal year, at 7 o'clock, we're going to get together in our building. We have a building in Cedarhurst, and we're going to say Nishmas and celebrate the financial success of our campaign. August 31st came, nothing, zero. I needed that day $900,000. It's a lot of money. I finished the shiur about 1:15, and the bank closed at 4. So we had 2¾ hours to come up with $900,000. I'd been negotiating with certain people, trying and this. By 4 o'clock, I succeeded in getting $600,000, put it in the bank. I was very distraught because I needed the 9 to show, because the next day already doesn't go on that financial statement. It goes on the following year, and that really technically wouldn't have helped me if I needed to show profit for this year, because the year is over, August 31st. But I figured $600,000 in a couple of hours is not too bad. I don't know anybody in the room here who makes that kind of money, you know, in a few hours. And therefore, I went to the party, you know, proud like this, but a little bit disappointed. I walk in, and someone hands me a sealed envelope. And I think to myself, in the absurd possibility that in this envelope is a check for $300,000, it's still not going to really help me because the deadline is over, the bank closed, and it has to be stamped August 31st. If not, the accountants consider it on the next year. I open it up, and guess what? It wasn't a check for $300,000. It was a deposit slip for $300,000. This guy had gone to the yeshiva's account and deposited $300,000 before 4 o'clock. Nishmas kol chai. Ooh, did we say nishmas? Anyway, so that's what it is. I trust in Hashem's chesed. I know Hashem's chesed is endless. I know He created the world only for the purpose of doing chesed. I know He recreates the world for each and every individual with the same chesed that He created the world for other Rishon originally. Yogeli b'Yishua Secha, and that inspires me emotionally. I'm just sure that He's going to give me the Yeshua that I await. Or Shira Hashem, and I promise Him that when that happens, Ki Gomal Olai, when it happens to me, when He delivers the Yeshua for me, I will say Shira, and I will declare and never forget that it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and nothing whatsoever happens because of my power or because of any other power out there, other than the Chesed Hashem, other than Ein Oid Milvadoi. Okay, any... you could disagree too with what I said. I dare you. What's that? Go ahead. Could you just a little louder?
Can you clarify by what you meant when you said that even when a
Russian
is...
Even?
Even when a Russian is...
Yes. Yes, Chazal say, the Pasuk says, Rabim machoivim l'rosho v'habitech b'Hashem chesed sereno. Great are the tzoras, the travails of the rosho, but one who puts his trust in Hashem will be surrounded by chesed. So Chazal say, even a rosho v'habitech b'Hashem. Bitochon doesn't know, doesn't recognize, doesn't measure your religious level. Bitochon recognizes and measures your connection to Hashem. A person can be a Rosha, but at this moment, something just overwhelms him with the realization of Hashem's kindness to the extent that he just, I'm just sure, I just know, I just feel it, my kishkes is not going to let me down. Chesed is over there. That's what Chazal tells us. Yes?
I always get confused how much
I'm sorry, it's a little hard for me to hear, just a little louder. I'm sorry.
What?
Oh, that's what you mean. First of all, is this for me? Is it? Yeah, I'm doing the line. That's a hard one. There's many differences of opinion about how much Shabbos you're supposed to have. So it's really not so simple. It's really not so simple. Some say that it should be just enough ishtadlus. Rabbi Saul Salanta says that you shouldn't need a miracle. Do enough that it could be. Well, I don't need miracles. So ishtadlus that I did, this amount of ishtadlus could bring in my parnosa that I need. This amount of ishtadlus, well, it wouldn't be a miracle if things worked out. Some people say you should do a tremendous amount. Some people say you shouldn't do that much at all. It depends really where you're holding. It depends on the level of bitochon. Your question is very good. It's very hard to know. But, you know, when we do a normal hishtadlus, then we're pretty much in the safe zone. What's the norm? What? What's that? Well, what is normal is what most people do. In other words, most people do so much, and not they don't go crazy, and they don't, most people don't overwork and take three jobs. Most people don't do that. They try to get a good job. Maybe they do a little bit of extra sometimes. But so, you know, that's the way it is. The same thing with other things in life. We don't have to. We shouldn't go crazy, because when you go too crazy, What you're showing is, that's what Chazon Ish says, that Yosef, when he asked the Sarah Mashkim, what was wrong with that Hishtadlus, was that it was the Hishtadlus of a Meyuish. Sarah Mashkim is going to remember you, he couldn't care less. That's like showing that you're desperate. Don't do a Hishtadlus that indicates desperate. Don't want to do anything that's that. You do your thing, and you rely on Hashem. Sometimes when I do too much Hishtadlus, then I send myself the message, it's me, not Hashem. Sometimes when I do less Hishtadlus, I say, hey, I'm just doing enough just to get into the zone where I think, now I can really feel that Hashem's going to help me. So that's one of the measurements. It's a very complicated thing, but you do normal, don't overdo, and you'll be fine.
Isn't davening also a Shabbos?
What's that?
Isn't davening also a Shabbos?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But sometimes we have to do a little bit more than that too. You know, because that's one form of Hishtadlus, which sometimes we need. Well, if you're just going to sit and daven and not to go to work, it's okay. Yes?
So, the rabbi mentioned that mitachon is like a button that we just press and something that we
work. No. I mentioned that it's not.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not. Right. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah. So, what would it be like a rabbi, like, how is that something you can work on? Like, is it just when a situation occurs and, like, that's when you work on having mitachon? Is it a continuous thing that you could do every day?
Okay, yes, definitely is. Now, I would suggest that there are books that are written on Bitochen. There are speeches that galore, hundreds of, on our website a lot. On Torah Anytime they have tons. Even on Torah Anytime they have, under my name, they have a lot of stuff there too. You have to work on it, you know. You're driving, you listen to something, you internalize it, you read, there's some... Is this a group that meets together as a group from time to time? Huh?
Every week.
So it's like the same people? So I could send some information, some written stuff that we could bring here. And I forgot today, I was running around, I really should have brought some stuff. But things that you read, you listen, you think, you work on it, you focus on it. You know, and to also to daven to Hashem to help me have bitochen. You know, we daven for everything. Daven for that too. And if we daven for that too, we have the greatest... The Brisker Rav says, I have to get moving. The Brisker Rav says, the pshat, kavei al Hashem chazak v'yameis libecho, v'kavei al Hashem. So what's the repetition? Kavei al Hashem, you have bitochen, and then kavei al Hashem again. So he gives a mashal, there was a rich brother and a poor brother. He says, and the rich brother was the kindest guy in the world, and he gave the poor brother anything that he wanted. But all the money he had, you couldn't even tell the difference the way they lived, because the rich brother was anything you want. One day the rich brother comes to the poor and says, why should we do this? It's ridiculous. I'm going to give you a lot of money. You'll invest and you'll become rich like me. Why do I have to constantly be giving you the money? You'll have your own money. So the Brisker Rav says, to a person that has bitochen, what are you going to give? He has everything. Bitochen is the means to get everything. The only thing you give him is more bitochen. You give him a greater means to get everything by himself. So that's really the idea. We definitely should daven for it, and it can make a big difference. Okay. All the best. I wish everybody hatzlocha.